prophets foretold the Messiah would come, born from the womb of a virgin. His name is Emmanuel, God's chosen one. Many blind eyes would receive him. He spoke with authority, he healed the lame, and the captive cried out to his name. He is risen, just as he said, he is risen. He is risen up from the dead, he is risen. He taught that the kingdom of God was at hand, and he and the Father are one, preaching redemption throughout all the land. Redemption would be through the Son. When the Pharisees heard, they went into a rage and plotted an end to his days. He is risen, just as he said, he is risen. He is risen up from the dead, he is risen. Beaten and mocked, he would be crucified. The sentence of death that he carried, thorns in his head and a wound in his side, gave up the breath and was buried. He rose from the grave, the Son of the Highest, the horn of salvation is Jesus. One mediator between God and man, Jesus is Lord. Risen, just as he said, he is risen. He is risen up from the dead, he is risen. He is risen, just as he said, he is risen. He is risen up from the dead, he is risen. He is risen, light of the world, he is risen. Commander, Messiah, is risen. The Son of the Highest is risen. The great mighty God, Lord of all, Lord of all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to serve one this morning. It's our morning service. It's Easter. Was anybody up this morning about 6 o'clock? Did you look out the windows? That's pretty cool. I was up early today for some weird reason, and I was looking out the windows, and the sun's just about ready to come up. I think, you know, that's actually about the right time. I know this is Easter. We do this every year, of course. We celebrate. It's my favorite holiday of the year, honestly. This is the big day for us Christians. This is why we get to go to heaven, because none of us are worth it. None of us deserve to go. We're all sinners who, by God's grace, are forgiven, and not just forgiven for what we've done, but perpetually forgiven because he rose from the dead. And that's why we celebrate Easter. Such a wonderful time. Glad you could be here. We have breakfast right after this this little service this morning, then a regular service at 10:30. I'm glad you could all be here. Let's begin with a word of prayer and ask God to bless this whole thing. Father, I do want to thank you so much for this time, Lord. But God, I pray this morning that you'd bless this congregation, both services and the meal, that you'd allow us to enjoy each other's fellowship and just being around the tables with one another and in music and in song and memory. God, this is a wonderful day. It's so anticlimactic, it would feel, compared to Christmas. It seems so disjointed from everything that's going on. But Lord, this is the center. The world's made it just something off skew, but we know it's the center point. And God, help us to understand that, appreciate that, and believe that, Lord. And God, we thank you for this time now. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's all stand this morning and turn to page 289. Christ the Lord is risen today. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Son of man, the angels say. Alleluia. Raise your joys and trumpets high. Alleluia. Sing ye heaven and earth reply. Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia.
Now to show off our new organ, is Gwen.
The song is called Praise Him, Praise Him.
Thank you. Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth to before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I also have a short poem by M.S. Lowndes. It's very appropriate for this day, I believe. It's titled The Resurrection, and it goes like this. We hold so close to our hearts the cross where Jesus died, but so much more than the blood-stained cross is that Jesus came back to life. The stone's been rolled away. The tomb lay open and bare. They looked for him, and then the angel said that he is no longer here. Oh, what joy they must have felt to see him just once more, to eat with him, to drink with him, and to receive him back as Lord. So much did he accomplish through his death upon the cross, and in his rising from the dead, he reconciled us back to God. Nothing else could bridge the gap that sin had wrenched apart. Now we can freely go to God and receive Christ in our hearts.
I and hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
Thank you.
Like I mentioned earlier, how much I really love Easter. It's just difficult sometimes for some people to, you don't want to get really excited about it. You do sometimes in your thoughts in retrospect, but at the moment, it's early. It's Sunday morning. But I have studied religion formally since I was 18 years old. That's 36 years now. Yeah, 36 years. I studied Buddhism, Hinduism, Catholicism. I studied witchcraft in high school, Wiccas. I studied all kinds of religions. And when I became a believer and turned my life over to Christ when I was 18, the only thing that made sense was Christianity. Now, some of your friends are going to tell you that we're arrogant to believe we're the only ones. Some are going to say that we're narrow-minded and that's just how we were raised in tradition. How do we know that we're right? Well, the one thing that differentiates our faith from all the other faiths is our God is still alive. If you're a Buddhist, Siddhartha Gautama has been dead for centuries, and he's still dead. If you're a Hindu, all of the Hindu leaders are dead. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, all your leaders are dead. If you're Shinto, all your leaders are still dead. If you're Muslim, Muhammad is still dead. If you're any religion in the world other than a follower of the Christ, and Jesus' last name wasn't Christ, he was Jesus the Christ. He's the Savior, the one who forgives the world, that can redeem the world. His name was Jesus. We didn't even know his last name. We didn't really ask. We don't need to. His first name was Jesus. Yeshua. And we know that he rose from the dead on this day. Now, this is Sunday, and some of you are intelligent, and you're thinking, well, if he was crucified on Friday, it said he was dead for 3 days. Isn't that like Monday or Tuesday? Well, in Jewish calendar, Friday is one day. In the grave, Sunday is 2 days. And Sunday morning, when the sun came up, was the third day. And that's what they meant. See, the Jews were a very religious people, and they couldn't do any work on the Sabbath. And so they hung Christ on the cross with two people who were guilty, and they had to have him dead by 6 p.m. Friday night. Because the Sabbath is 6 p.m. Friday night till past 6 p.m. on Saturday night. So from Friday night at 6 to Saturday night at 6, sometimes to the morning, no one did anything. They rested. And so as the Jews were killing Christ and they were making him pay for his blasphemies, they said, they had to make sure he was dead by 6 p.m. because no good card-carrying Jew would be out doing anything past that. That's why they broke the legs of the other two people who hung on the crosses, to make sure they had suffocated by 4 or 5 o'clock so they could get them off the cross and they could all get home by 6. Well, Jesus was dead when they went to check him out, and they stuck a sword in his side and water came out and blood of his lungs, which was indicative that he had died. This was Friday night. So Mary and daughter Salome and some of the other women took Jesus' body after a guy named Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb not too far from there. It was a hewn out stone in the side of a mountain, which a rock, a big circle was cut out, and the inside was dug out. And as you would go inside, he had a slab there, and that was a place for his burial. But he gave that to Jesus because you can't just leave the body on the cross. Once again, no Jew is allowed to be doing anything on the Sabbath, so everything had to be done by 6 o'clock that night. So they took his body quickly, and Joseph went to Pilate and the leaders, and they said, yes, you can go ahead and use that as a temporary thing or as a permanent one. They weren't sure. And they put him in there, and the women went with him, and they looked inside, and they made sure there was Jesus' body, and Joseph wrapped him long ways or sideways around his body and long ways, and then they left, and the women watched. And then they rolled this huge rock. It's kind of like just a big circular rock to cover the hole on the outside, to make sure predators and things like that don't get inside to get the body. The next day was Saturday. Now, no one could do anything on Saturday that was Jewish. So what the women did was they got spices ready. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every account's a little different. None contradict one or the other, but they all complete all four and gives you the whole picture. The women got together spices and herbs, which was the historical content of the day. They didn't embalm the bodies. They didn't take out their organs like they did in Egypt and Babylonia and the Assyrians. What they did was they took the ointments and the smells and all the different spices, and they would clean the body because Jesus had hung on a cross for 6 hours and he had been beaten terribly the night before. His back was tore up from being cat of nine tailed. His face was tore up by being beat up by the soldiers, and then he had holes in his hands right below his wrist and through the instep of both feet, where he hung for 6 hours, or 3 hours on a cross, 6 hours on a cross, rather. So his body was mangled, and they wanted to make sure the body looked good. So the deal was that they would come, and as soon as the Sabbath was over, they would sneak in there early, early Sunday morning to clean his body up, to get it prepared for the future, for the final burying spot, or for the final burying moment. And the Bible says, whether you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the different renditions from the perspectives of the writer are interesting. But it does appear that Mary got there first, and the stone was rolled away. Because if you read in Matthew, the Jewish leaders were terrified that they were going to steal the body of Jesus. And by stealing the body of Jesus, they said they were going to perpetuate the myth that Jesus rose from the dead. So he'd been saying that for a long time anyway, he was going to do that. And so they put soldiers there, and they took kind of like a wax, and they sealed the particular stone front. And so when Mary got there, there was an angel. The soldiers were all scared to death. An angel had come and rolled the stone away and was sitting by the rock. Could you imagine them? And she looked in there, and Jesus wasn't there. Then the other Mary came with her, and they came inside, and they started to cry because the body was gone. And then there were two there in one rendition, and one at the head on the other rendition of Matthew as opposed to Luke. And it said that, why are you crying? Jesus is not here. He is risen. That was the first time it was declared that he was risen, even though Jesus had said that multiple times. Now, that is essential for us as a faith. If Jesus had not risen, we are still caught in our sin. We're all still sinners. If Jesus hadn't risen, we can't be forgiven once and for all. That means everything that we say, do, and think that's wrong has to be paid for by a sacrifice, just like the Old Testament. That's what the Jews had to go through. If Jesus Christ isn't risen, we're in big trouble. But because he's risen, we can trust in him and we're all forgiven. That's what Easter is about. I like thinking about it, it seems like mostly at night. I'm sitting around the fire by myself late at night. I think about it. What would it be like to just live in this world with nothing more than this world? This is it. I mean, this is it. What if there was no heaven? What if there was no eternal life? What if there was no meeting God face to face and this was everything there was to it? Just waking up and going to bed. Waking up, go to bed. Wake up, go to bed. Wouldn't that be horrible? But because Christ does live, we have a purpose to our life. Our life has a point to it. There's a rationale for our existence. And he gives us strength along the way, which is a wonderful thing. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn to page 408. I surrender all.
Thank you.
Father, we do thank you for this time, Lord, and God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, every day is Easter for us. We perpetually live in a state of forgiveness. You constantly forgive us, but more than just being forgiven, Lord, we have purpose, we have a hope, we have a rationale to live, we have a positiveness, Lord, because our life is worth something, and we do something with that. You won't give us more than we can handle, and you give us something to do with that, special gifts and things like that, Lord. But, Lord, you have a plan for us. We thank you for that. God, this special day, help us to enjoy one another, to have good fellowship around the breakfast tables. But, God, throughout the day and throughout our lives as Christians, Lord, help us to be appreciative of what you've done for us, Lord. It's so easy for us to get forgetful about what you've done. Help us to remember. Now, bless this time as we close. In Christ's name, amen. And you're all dismissed and invited to go downstairs for breakfast.